We're turning today in the Word of God to the book of Exodus, chapter 32. The book of Exodus in the chapter 32, I want us today to think about Aaron. We read something of him here in Exodus chapter 32. The verse 1 tells us, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they say, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early in the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Down in verse 21 it says, And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they give it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. I will end the reading there, knowing God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts today. Let us just pause for a moment and seek the Lord in prayer, and ask for his help now in the preaching of his word. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee in prayer. We acknowledge that thou art the one true and living God, that beside thee there is none else. And we thank thee we can approach unto thee today in and through thy Son, the Lord Jesus, the only mediator between God and man. And we thank thee we're accepted before thee in him, accepted in the beloved. We thank thee for thy Holy Spirit who dwells within each believer, helping us even as we come in prayer, and even in opening up the scriptures to us, applying the word to our hearts. And we pray today that thou will come and minister to our hearts. Thy word is truth. Thy word is a message for us. And we pray that thou wilt make thy word to be a word in season to our hearts this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Aaron, the brother of Moses of Miriam, was greatly used by God in his lifetime. Aaron took his stand for God alongside his brother Moses as they delivered the word of God to Pharaoh and to the people of Israel. And it was Aaron who was the spokesman appointed by God when Moses said he was not eloquent enough to speak for God. Our own features in Exodus 17, also when Israel were involved in battle with Amalek. And as Moses held up his hands in prayer on the top of the hill with the rod of God in his hand, causing Israel's army led by Joshua to prevail, his hands became heavy, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses sat down upon a stone, and it was Aaron, along with her, who held up his hands. Aaron was also chosen and called by God with his sons to minister in the office of the priesthood. In Numbers chapter 16, he was called upon by Moses to make an atonement for the congregation of the people of Israel when the wrath of God went out in the form of a plague. Aaron stood between the dead and the living. And in the office of the priesthood, Aaron, of course, pointed to Christ and his coming sacrifice for sin. But Aaron was not perfect. He was not a forgiven sinner. And the word of God leaves us in no doubt. There were times of failing in his life. Although he was sinned against himself, and he was provoked, and he was tempted, he himself sinned, even in his position of leadership for God. Just as Moses and Miriam were used by God, and yet with their sinful feelings, so with Aaron. God's word does set before us men and women who were greatly used by God in their day, that we might realize that if we are saved, we too can be used by God to serve him. But their failings are also recorded that we might learn from them, to keep up our guard against it, but also to encourage us that when we do sin and fail as believers, there is forgiveness and restoration when we repent, and we can continue to be used for God and by God. We want today to consider some of the sinful failures of Aaron to help us to guard ourselves against sin. I want us to begin in this chapter from which we have read in Exodus 32 by considering the idolatry at Sinai. Here in Exodus 32 we find that the people of Israel were at Sinai. Moses was up upon the mount, communing with God, receiving the law of God written in tables of stone. And the people grew impatient as they waited for Moses to return. And so they came to Aaron, and they asked Aaron to make them gods, to go before them, breaking indeed some of the commandments already given to them. They said they did not know what had become of Moses. And instead of standing against the crowd and rebuking them for such a suggestion, Aaron went along with their sinful request. He asked the people to bring their golden earrings, which he then melted down and used to the gold to fashion a calf. Aaron then built an altar before the calf. He proclaimed that the next day would be a feast unto the Lord. The next morning the people offered burnt offerings. They brought peace offerings. But you know the Lord's verdict, when revealing to Moses up on the mount that which was happening down below, was that the people had corrupted themselves. They had turned aside quickly out of the way which God had commanded them. They were a stiff-necked people. While Aaron did not make the initial suggestion of making gods, what he did made him guilty of sin, as he did act to please the people. When Moses came down from the mount and destroyed the calf, in verse 21, he rebuked Aaron for bringing a great sin upon the people. And while Aaron sought to blame the people of being set in mischief, that could not excuse his own sin. Does it not remind us that as believers we need grace to go against the crowd when it comes to fleeing from sin? As saved sinners, while we might never consider making a golden calf to worship, we are warned against the sin of idolatry in all its forms. The Apostle John, at the end of his first letter to God's people, in 1 John 5 and 21, he gave this exhortation, the very final exhortation of his letter: wherefore, or rather, little children, keep yourselves from idols. When Paul was writing to the Corinthian church in his first letter to them, chapter 10, verse 14, he wrote, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." And in the verse 7 of that same 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul referred to what had happened here at Sinai in Exodus 32. And he wrote, "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play." Paul writing to the Colossians, in Colossians 3 verse 5, again writing to saved sinners, he gave this exhortation, "Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth." And at the end of the list, he wrote of mortifying covetousness, which is idolatry. So a saved sinners were warned against idolatry. If you're not saved today, you're guilty of idolatry. You put self and sin before God. You worship self and sin instead of God. You need to repent and trust Christ for salvation. Because Ephesians 5 and verse 5 declares, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Thank God there is salvation from the sin of idolatry. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in his first letter to them, chapter 1, verse 9, he could rejoice that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And so when we think of Aaron's sinful feelings, we think here of the idolatry at Sinai in Exodus chapter 32. But we move on to another sinful failure of Aaron recorded for us in the Word of God. And we turn to Numbers chapter 12, where we discover the envy toward Moses. And if you take the time, as I would encourage you to do so, to read this 12th chapter of the book of Numbers, you will find the record of how Aaron and his sister Miriam spoke against their brother Moses, speaking against him because of the Ethiopian woman he had married, but also showing envy at the special position God had placed Moses in, saying, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord came down on this occasion. He rebuked Aaron and Miriam for speaking against Moses. Aaron acknowledged that he and Miriam had done foolishly and had sinned. It's very possible that Miriam may have led in this sin, and Aaron again went along, because it was Miriam who was smitten with leprosy for a time as a consequence of this sin. The lesson is, we must stand for God against sin, even when we're being influenced by family members to commit sin. In the work of God, as well as in the family circle, there's the danger of envy as to the position others are given by God. And yet we must be content to take the place or position God gives to us. In this sin of speaking against Moses, Aaron should have remembered that in the sin at Sinai regarding the golden calf, you know, Moses had prayed for him there. We're told of that in Deuteronomy 9 and the verse 20. As Moses looked back to what had happened, he said that the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. "And I prayed for Aaron also the same time." You know, envy is another sin we're warned against even as believers. When Paul wrote his first letter to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 3 and 3, he revealed there was envy and strife and divisions among the believers at Corinth. And when he was writing to the churches of Galatia in Galatians 5 and 26, the exhortation he gave them was, "Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." And so, we're not only warned against idolatry, were warned against envy. But there's one other sinful feeling of Aaron which the Lord has recorded for our warning and learning that I want us to mention as we bring our message to a conclusion. That is the disobedience at Meribah. You can read Numbers chapter 20, where you will discover that Moses and Aaron were involved in this particular sin. We're focusing in upon Aaron today. But the people of Israel have come to the desert of Sin on their journeys. And we're told there was no water for the people to drink. And so the people gathered themselves against Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron went to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And God instructed Moses to take his rod and to gather the people, and he and Aaron were to speak to the rock, and it would give forth water. Moses and Aaron called the people together, called them rebels. And Moses smote the rock twice when God had said, speak to the rock. But here in Numbers 20 and verse 12, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, and he said to both of them, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Aaron was part of this disobedience, and as a consequence, neither he or Moses were permitted by God to go into the promised land of Canaan. Verse 24, we read, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Aaron died upon Mount Hor, according to the verse 28, when his garments, his priestly garments, were taken off them, put upon Eleazar his son. Aaron died there in the top of the mount. Disobedience at Meribah. Does it not remind us that as God's people, when we're saved, we're called to obey the word of God and not to try to do things in our own way? And this is especially the case for those in leadership and the work of God, as was Aaron. In the words of 1 Peter 3 and 15, we are called to sanctify or set apart the Lord God in our hearts. Something Aaron did not do at Meribah. May we then, as believers today, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And if you're not saved, you need to obey the call of the gospel to repent and believe. You can't be saved in your own way. You can't get to heaven your own way. You've got to come God's way. And so these three specific situations that are recorded of sinful failures in the life of Aaron have again lessons for us. May God apply his word to our hearts today.